The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 19th chapter. And when he said these things, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. When he drew near to Bethanish and Bethany, at the mountain that is called Olivet, he sent two of his disciples, saying, "Go into the village in front of you, where on entering you will find a colt tied, on which no one has ever yet sat. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks, 'Why are you untying it?' you should say this, 'The Lord has need of it.' So those who were sent away and found it just as he had told them. And as they were untying the colt, its owner said to them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' And they said, 'The Lord has need of it.' And they brought it to Jesus, and throwing their cloaks on the colt, they sent Jesus on it. And as he rode along, they spread their cloaks on the road. As he was drawing near, already on the way down from the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of his disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest.' And some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.' He answered them, 'I tell you, if they were silent, the very stones would cry out. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise be to thee, O Christ." And we confess our faith together in the words of the Apostles' Creed. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There's a superintendent of a large Christian school that was a little tired of the messes he found in some of the classrooms by the students' desks. Papers were strewn on the floor. There'd be pencils, books, things like that, cluttered around the desk, looking like little nests. So he felt this wasn't the proper learning environment. He had to do something about it. So he chose to make himself an experiment here. He went into the classroom, announced who he was, and he said, "The year is just beginning. Your books are new. Your desks are clean. I want you to keep it that way. And so that you do keep it that way, I will come back at a certain point. And I won't tell you when that'll be. But I will come back in the room and examine the desk. Whoever has a clean desk is a crisp, brand new $100 bill." Well, that got the students' attention in a hurry. So as soon as he left, they made sure their desk looked spotless. Guess what they did for the next week? They made sure their desks looked spotless. Everything had to be in perfect order. By about the third week, some started to return to their old ways again. By the fourth week, several students remarked, "I doubt he'll ever come back at all. He just said that to make us keep our desks clean." After 2 months, nearly everyone had forgotten that the superintendent had even made this promise, except for one little girl. And for months, she was teased for it. "He's not coming back. Why do you keep looking for him? You look stupid believing that promise anyway." She was quiet about it, but she kept her desk in perfect order. The end of the school year came, and guess who showed up again? The superintendent. As soon as he walked in the room, the kids were diving in their desks, desperately trying to clean it out. He told them to stop. Then he inspected the desk. He had them lift up. These were the old desks with the top lifted up. He would look inside, look around the desk, and close the lid to say, "Rejected." And he got all the way around the room to this one little girl. And he looked at her desk, and it was perfect. Everything was in its proper place. So he had her come up to the front of the classroom, took a $100 bill off of a whole roll of hundreds, because if it was more than one student, he had the money to back up his promise. But he gave it to the one little girl in front of everyone else because she was always ready. Through the course of the school year, she was always ready for her return. We begin our entry into the Advent season. It's a season of reality and it's a season of life. It comes from the various parts of life, not just the 4 or 5 weeks before Christmas. The Bible says, "In those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in heaven will be shaken. These words were spoken by Jesus right after the disciples were admiring Herod's beautiful temple and all the outlying buildings on how magnificent these structures were. And Jesus was saying to them, the temple that's your life is going to come crashing down. There's going to be a significant change in your life. Significant changes in life. We know when we have one of those days, don't we? When things just go completely wrong. We know what it is to enter darkness because of change. And it might be because the loss of a relationship, loss of a loved one, a loss of just what's comfortable or what's familiar. The world as we know it has changed. Just look at our country in the past. Well, now we're going into the second year of the virus. Are we going through another round of this or not? See how things change immediately? And I hope I don't see church attendance drop as a result. It did the first time, and I hope we don't repeat that again this time. But that's another rant for another time, perhaps. But how are we going to find truth in the midst of all the darkness? Where do we go when it seems if darkness is really our only companion and God has forsaken us? Human temptation, immediately when something goes wrong in our life, especially we men, we want to fix it. Overall, most people want to ease the pain, and they certainly want to escape the uncertainty of it all. But the God of the Advent season doesn't allow that. Advent isn't about losses, it's about a gain, a hope of what's coming to be. The hope in coming is a birth of His Son, Jesus Christ. Christ is the answer to everything. He's the answer to light. He's the answer to loss. He's the answer to every Advent season. Jesus is the answer to all of our problems. Every time we experience an Advent moment, one of those moments of change, we're like the prophet Isaiah who cried out in chapter 64, verse 1, "Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down." Paul comforts us with the words, "In the midst of our losses, we lack nothing as we await the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ." Advent is a time of waiting. Yes, there is changes coming, but it's a time of waiting. It's a transitional time. Advent is that in-between time of what was and what will come to be. Time of transition, there's always a temptation to try to resist it. See, Advent, in conclusion, teaches us we don't know everything. We don't see all the possibilities. And simply put, we're not in charge. That's what Advent's teaching us. Those three things. We don't know everything. We don't see all the possibilities. And we sure aren't in charge. But He is. So may the peace of God, which is above all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds focused on Jesus Christ to life everlasting. Amen.